The name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My twin brother and I were fairly small children, which may surprise some of you given my large stature today. And our mom had been a pediatric nurse before we were born, so she could at times be just, you know, a tad overprotective. She absolutely forbid us from playing football, knowing for sure that we would be broken into a million pieces on the gridiron. So when we were in high school and my brother decided that he wanted to play lacrosse, he figured he didn't stand much of a chance of getting this past my mom, but to our great astonishment, she said yes. Now, she later admitted that she had no idea what lacrosse was. I mean, it sounds French. How dangerous can it be? Now, this was back in the days before Google and YouTube, and I'm sure if my mom had been able to do a quick search and had seen what lacrosse is, she would have changed her tune quite a bit. It would have been no, no way, no how, forget it. But it was only when she took Mark to buy the equipment that she realized that perhaps this game was a little rougher than she had originally thought. Now, if you, like my mom, have no idea what lacrosse is, imagine football, but everyone is given a stick to use as a weapon. That's lacrosse. And my brother felt pretty good about pulling one over on mom. Until halfway through his second season of lacrosse, he blew out his knee. Now, to mom's credit, she never said, "I told you so." I think a whole summer being on crutches was punishment enough for my brother. Needless to say, he never played lacrosse again after that. Now, to be fair, I ran cross country and track, and I still wound up with more knee surgeries than my brother. So take that for what it's worth. But I think a lot of times we get into Christianity thinking that it's going to be safe and easy and maybe even a little boring. How dangerous can this Christianity thing be? You show up for an hour a week, you sit in a beautiful church, you sing hymns with an organ and a choir. Now, I do remember one time as a kid, I was kneeling in the pew before the service started, and my knees slipped off the kneeler, and I smacked my chin on the pew in front of me. But that's as close as I've ever gotten to a church-related injury. And yet, Jesus presents a very different vision of Christian life. And like lacrosse, church and Christianity can be incredibly dangerous. In our gospel reading today, Jesus has just appointed the 12 apostles, and he's sending them out into the world to proclaim the coming of the kingdom of God. And after giving them some basic instructions on how to operate during this missionary endeavor, he proceeds to tell them what exactly it is that they are to expect. And it is not a rosy picture. He doesn't say, "Go on out there, everyone's going to love you and respect you, and it's going to be wonderful." Instead, he begins in verse 16 by saying, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." Now, to send sheep in the midst of wolves for any shepherd would be foolhardy at best. Sheep are not particularly fast or aggressive animals. They have no real defense, and so they're easy prey for wolves. Now, for a shepherd to send them out into this kind of situation would almost certainly mean the loss of the beloved sheep. Jesus is telling his disciples that he is sending them into a world of great danger. I mean, it'd be almost like sending me out to return a punt in an NFL game wearing nothing more than a t-shirt, gym shorts, and flip-flops. Even by this early point in Jesus' public ministry, he's already being seen as a radical and a revolutionary. And Jesus knows that his disciples are going to be seen in this same regard. And that's not a safe place for them to be. So how are the disciples meant to handle such a great danger? Jesus tells them that they are to be wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. This is a really difficult balance to maintain. As Bishop N.T. Wright says, Christians often find it easy to be one or the other, but seldom both. Without innocence, shrewdness becomes manipulative. Without shrewdness, innocence becomes naivete. Well, Jesus then tells them what kind of persecution they're going to encounter. And the first kind is legal persecution. He says, "Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles." Now, in Jesus' day, Jewish power was divided between two major ruling parties. You had the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And much like modern-day Democrats and Republicans, they often didn't see eye to eye on certain issues, but they actually found common ground in the enemy of Jesus and his disciples. And so just imagine if Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi decided to put their differences aside and to unite together for the sole purpose of coming after you. That would be terrifying. And Jesus is telling his disciples that this is exactly what you're getting ready to walk into. And while it may be scary, it's also an opportunity for them. While the Romans allowed the Jews to self-govern in many areas of their lives, punishment for crime was often left to the secular authorities. Jesus assures his disciples that this legal persecution that they're about to face is actually going to allow them to share the message of the gospel with the Gentiles. He goes on to say, "Do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." Now this is interesting because we read this and we think, well, Jesus is going to give them a great defense so they can get out of trouble. That's actually not what Jesus is saying. That's why he's saying don't prepare anything, because he doesn't want this great legal defense. Instead, he wants them to be prepared to proclaim the gospel even to the ruling authorities, even if it means persecution and death. Now, unfortunately, the persecution that they are going to face is not going to stop there. Starting in verse 21, Jesus continues, "Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father, his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake." Now, it's one thing for the religious leaders and the government to come after you, but Jesus lets his disciples know that this persecution is going to be much more personal than that. The gospel is going to endanger even the most intimate of relationships. Jesus will say later on in this very chapter, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Now, Jesus isn't saying that we need to hate our families or that we need to abandon our families. But what he is doing is he's letting us know that many people are going to be forced to choose between even their own family and the kingdom of God. And this would have to be the most gut-wrenching of decisions that a person could ever have to make. And I've seen far too many people who, when it comes down to it, they will choose their family over the gospel. But Jesus is telling his disciples that this is going to be by far the hardest thing they have ever had to do in their lives. He's not simply asking them to give up an hour a week to come to church or to give a tenth of their income away. He's not asking them to be a Sunday school teacher or to make coffee on Sunday morning. He's telling them that the kingdom of God is so very important that they need to be willing to give up absolutely everything for it. Nothing should stand in the way of proclaiming this good news to a dying world. Now, by this point, I would assume that the disciples are probably getting pretty discouraged. And so Jesus reassures them. In the next 7 verses of our reading, he tells them repeatedly not to be afraid. He says, "Fear not, have no fear." In verse 28, Jesus says, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, as human beings, the thing I think we naturally fear the most is physical death. One of the reasons we're so terrified of this virus that's going around is because we know that it can, in fact, be fatal. If it was just a matter of us getting a runny nose, a little cough, maybe some aches and pains, we wouldn't be making a big deal of this. But already, over 100,000 people have died in this country alone. To put that into perspective, that's more Americans than died in the Vietnam War. And so, we are rightly scared. But Jesus is telling his disciples that there is something even scarier than physical death, and that is spiritual death. Imagine if we took spiritual death as seriously as we take physical death. Now, I certainly don't have a death wish myself. I wear my seatbelt in the car. I try to drive the speed limit. I wash my hands frequently. I wear a helmet when I ride my bike. But if I were to physically die today, the absolute worst thing that would happen to me is I would get to go and be with Jesus for eternity. Doesn't seem so bad. And so that really doesn't scare me. But if I were to die outside of his grace, that would be absolutely terrifying. And so if the choice that I have is either I can die for my faith or I can reject Jesus and live, that second choice is far scarier than the first one. Jesus is trying to get his disciples to have this perspective on their mission. They need to be ready to suffer now, even death, for the sake of an eternal reward in God's kingdom. Our reading concludes with some pretty direct words from the Lord. He says, "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." These words rang loudly in the ears not only of the original disciples, but the early church as well. I'm currently reading a book called When the Church Was Young, and it's about the first 400 or 500 years of the history of the church. And many of these early church fathers suffered greatly and even died for the sake of acknowledging Jesus before others. But what about today? Is it enough for us to just throw up a dank Jesus meme on Facebook and then get into an argument in the comments section? Is that what Jesus is talking about? I think it can be hard for us to wrap our minds around what he's talking about, because relatively speaking, we really don't see a lot of blatant persecution of Christians in the United States today. But that doesn't mean that we're off the hook, doesn't mean that Jesus is not still speaking to us. Even though he's giving some pretty specific warnings in our text today, his underlying message to the disciples is the same message that we need to hear today. He's asking them, what are you willing to give up for the sake of the gospel? What are you willing to sacrifice? That is a question we always need to be asking ourselves. What are we willing to risk, to give up for the sake of Jesus Christ? If your boss asked you to do something that would violate your Christian witness, would you be willing to say no and maybe lose your job? If your son or your daughter wanted to participate in a sports league that would require missing Sunday morning worship on a consistent basis, would you be willing to make worshiping with the body of Christ a priority in your family? If giving faithfully and sacrificially to the work of the church meant having to drive a cheaper car or maybe go on a less expensive vacation, would you be willing to do that? And these are all really small examples, but they're places where Christians today capitulate every day. Can you imagine talking to one of the disciples or one of the early church fathers who died for their faith and saying, yeah, we don't go to church in the fall because that's soccer season? They wouldn't have a category in their mind for that. And I think it points out how little many of us are actually willing to risk for our faith. You see, when we talk about Christian persecution, we think of it in terms of what other people are going to do to us. But it's really about what we are willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel. For those of us living in Springfield today, the risk of beatings and death may not be very high, but that doesn't mean that the Christian faith is not meant to be dangerous. Because when we take our faith seriously, when we make decisions based on our Christian worldview, then being Christian will always come at a cost. Throughout history, the greatest witness of Christian men and women has always been their willingness to lay down absolutely everything at the feet of Jesus. And this, my friends, is how we acknowledge Jesus before others. But have no fear. As Jesus says, even the hairs of your head are numbered. You are more valuable than many sparrows. So be prepared for difficulty in this world. Be prepared to make difficult decisions for the sake of the gospel. Be prepared to be ridiculed, but stand firm in your faith. Jesus has overcome the world. And all of our pain will one day be turned into rejoicing in God's kingdom when Jesus acknowledges us before his Father. Amen.